From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, November 6, 2025. The Trump administration has told states that household SNAP benefits will be reduced by 35%, according to Maine Equal Justice. That's in spite of court orders to fully fund the program during the government shutdown. Maine Equal Justice's Allison Weiss says food banks can only fill a fraction of the gap and is urging the governor and the legislature to step in.
The states have an important backstop role to play. That's why we joined with other organizations in calling for a special legislative session to be considered.
The group says SNAP benefit amounts will be about half of what they were for single parents and elderly couples, while some working families will get no benefit at all this month. After months of contentious negotiations, Northern Light Health and Anthem agreed on a contract late Wednesday. The deal comes nearly a week after their current contract expired and ensures that all Northern Light providers will be billed as in-network for its roughly 30,000 patients covered by Anthem. During a briefing Thursday before the state's Health Coverage, Insurance, and Financial Services Committee, Senator Donna Bailey asked the two organizations what lawmakers can do to avoid a similar situation in the future.
And what I mean by that is the protracted negotiations that has caused tremendous angst, stress to consumers.
Bailey asked the organizations to bring an answer back to lawmakers at a later date. Washington County officials are considering what to do about the county's $8 million debt after local voters rejected a bond referendum this week. Brian Schuth is the chair of the county's Budget Advisory Committee and Eastport City Manager. He calls the referendum loss profoundly disappointing and says it's frustrating that the financial problems caused by poor accounting practices weren't detected a few years earlier.
That we'd merely be broke instead of in the hole. And while that would hurt, we wouldn't be facing the sort of existential crisis we have right now that clouds everything.
Schuth says if the county now adds the entire $8 million debt to the 2026 budget, that would represent a 50% increase. Maine will resettle only 50 people through the federal refugee program over the next year, all of them white South Africans. That's according to Inza Watara, state refugee coordinator through Catholic Charities Maine, who says last year the state resettled close to 500 refugees.
That's way below, what we were expecting last fiscal year.
In recent years, new refugees in Maine have mostly come from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Syria, Somalia, and other countries experiencing war and armed conflict. President Trump, however, is prioritizing Afrikaners, a white South African ethnic group that he claims is facing persecution, a notion South African leaders have strongly rejected. The Maine Human Rights Commission is bracing for the impact of federal policy changes around sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination. Executive Director Kit Thompson-Crossman says in Maine, the law remains the same and continues to offer protections. But the commission has work-sharing agreements with federal agencies, including Housing and Urban Development, which have changed their legal interpretations to no longer include protections for sexual orientation or gender identity. And so far, Thompson-Crossman says it's unclear what that will mean for the commission.
It's unclear whether the commission will maintain its head contract. I think it's probably unclear whether many agencies around the country would maintain their head contract, which would significantly impact the ability of those agencies to operate in a lot of cases because they rely on that HUD funding.
But in Maine, Thompson-Crossman says its two federal agreements make up around a quarter of the commission's budget and would still be able to operate without those funds. Two new child care centers will open in Freeport and South Portland next year with space for 200 infants and toddlers. Josh Waxman with United Way of Southern Maine says the hope is to provide more child care options for ALICE households, meaning families who earn more than the federal poverty level but less than enough to make ends meet.
What we've heard from business partners is that the shift worker that's working overnight, they need child care too, whether that's a hospital, whether that's someone who's working overnight in a factory or on the assembly line.
Waxman says the goal is to offer care 24/7 to accommodate parents working early, late, and overnight shifts. United for Child Care, the new nonprofit set to run the centers, is a collaboration between United Way of Southern Maine and the Greater Portland Chamber of Commerce. After a three-hour search, police have found the two girls who went missing earlier today from the Woodside Elementary School playground in Topsom. Topsom Police Chief Mark Hagan says the seven-year-old girls left school grounds at recess and hid in the woods surrounding the school after seeing law enforcement arrive.
They're 7 years old. They got scared and just decided to hunker down and keep hiding, and then somebody happened to see them behind a tree.
Hagan says the girls apparently told another student the day before that they planned to leave school in the middle of the day to go to a store. No one needed medical attention, and both girls have been released back to their parents. Some Mainers shopping for health insurance through the state's online marketplace are getting sticker shock at steep price increases. That's because enhanced premium tax credits will expire at the end of the year unless Congress extends them. The issue is at the center of the federal government shutdown, leaving the 54,000 Mainers who rely on the subsidies in limbo. Patty White reports.
Meredith Eilers and her husband live in Bodenham with their three children. She's an attorney. He's an organic vegetable farmer. Until a few years ago, they had health insurance through Eilers' employer, a Portland-based law firm. But in 2020, she decided to open up her own practice, and she says she could take that leap because of the Affordable Care Act's marketplace.
We were able to insure our entire family actually for less than through my employer at the time, so it worked out pretty well for us.
The enhanced tax credits, which began during the pandemic, have kept their premiums affordable, Eilers says. They currently pay about $160 a month. But now that the enhanced subsidies are set to expire, Eilers says their premiums next year will skyrocket to more than $1,400 a month.
I mean, we were shocked. We had heard, okay, it might double, might go up as much as like two, three, maybe even four times as much. But this is approximately nine times what we had been paying.
Penny Collins of New Gloucester also got sticker shock when she shopped for Marketplace health plans for her family of four.
What I saw filled me with such panic, I closed my laptop and just walked out of our office.
Collins says they've relied on the online marketplace for health insurance ever since her husband opened a small engineering firm in 2021. As their business and income grew, so did their monthly premiums. And Collins says enhanced tax credits kept the costs reasonable. But next year, she says their premiums will nearly double to $33,000 a year. She's not sure what they're going to do.
Every day, I'm hoping something changes. I am delaying making a decision in the marketplace. We will use every minute of this open enrollment.
According to Maine's Office of the Health Insurance Marketplace, the expiration of the enhanced tax credits will result in average premium increases of 77% next year. Even so, Office Director Hillary Schneider says there are still affordable options.
In typical years, you might see maybe a $10 or $20 difference in premiums across carriers, and I'm seeing hundreds of dollars of differences. And so it's really important to see what the prices look like, not just for the plan that you are currently enrolled in, but what are offered by other carriers.
Including high deductible plans, she says, which often include coverage for office visits, specialists, and some prescriptions for modest copays.
Don't let those deductibles scare you away. Make sure you're looking at the details of the plan coverage.
And for consumers who may be tempted to wait to shop for plans to see whether Congress extends the enhanced tax credits, Ann Woolison advises them to start now. She's the executive director of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare, one of several organizations in Maine that offer free enrollment assistance.
I mean, we have a lot of resources throughout the state, but if everybody calls the day before open enrollment ends, they might not get the help they need, and we would hate for people to lose out on information that could be really helpful to them.
Open enrollment runs through mid-January, but consumers have to choose a plan by December 15th for coverage to kick in at the start of the new year. For Meredith Eilers, she says she hasn't found any plans that are substantially cheaper, and she wonders whether she and her husband will be able to continue operating their small legal and farm businesses.
Now, it's sort of like, gosh, you know, is this sustainable long term? Is it sustainable with this kind of uncertainty, with this kind of potential fluctuation?
She hopes that Congress will take action to make health insurance costs more predictable and extend the enhanced premium tax credits. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, a Made in Maine gift guide. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.